Welcome to Jesus Centric Life. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh. And today we're on week three of a conversation that we've been having over the past 3 weeks. We want to recap that with you real quick, and then we want to introduce a friend to you. So we just got done 2 weeks ago talking about what conversational faith is, what it is and what it isn't. Can you, Pastor, just briefly recap that?
Yeah, it's just sharing your life with somebody, having conversations, and those conversations are going to lead to Jesus. That's now, our hope.
How's that different than what we've seen different people do in the past?
Yeah, so I think like you could do door-to-door where you kind of have a script and you want to get to a script, but it's more, I would say the big difference of it, it's more focused, and that'll come in today, it's more focused on what's going on in their life and a desire to get to Jesus with them more in a relational way that's not scripted out, that's kind of just moving from, as you move deeper into relationship, this idea that Jesus will come up, you will have conversations within that.
Now, there's a twist from joining Jesus. What's the twist of this?
So I think it really is joining Jesus. It's just that in the way that we're talking about conversation, I'm giving you prompts and a process to get to those deeper relationships. That's kind of what I think joining Jesus starts us on that path, but this is going to help. And I think this conversation with Harold is really going to transition us into that, because we're going to talk about how, it's not just the question of, oh, I know someone, I want to share my faith, but how do we make those conversations deeper?
Good.
That's kind of where we're going.
All right. And then last week we talked about the hurdles that are there, the apathy, intellect, emotion, church hurt, different religions. Can you briefly summarize that?
Yeah. And so that's, again, there's things in people's lives that are keeping them from Jesus. And so how do we recognize the struggle that somebody has in Jesus so that we can speak into that and not just speak around the issue? So somebody might have a intellectual problem with Jesus, but is it an intellectual problem by itself, or is it also an emotional, that they had a big loss in their life and they can't believe that a loving God could allow this to happen? Is that intellectual or is that emotional? And that's really key that we understand that.
All right. So that brings us to where we are now. We get to welcome Harold Banicki to the table. This is your your fourth podcast.
Yes. He's our most common guest, I think.
I think he and Brad, I think it might be a tie, or you might be one up on Brad now. I'm not sure. But yeah, Harold brought a book to us called Conversational Questions, or The Six Conversations, that's right. And that covers social, emotional, physical, cognitive, volition. Oh, I wrote it down and everything. And then spiritual. So Harold found this book, found a YouTube interview with the author, and has really been great about keeping this in front of us and reminding us and having these conversations. So we thought this was a great juncture to kind of bring these two conversations together into one. So thanks for being with us, Harold.
I'm glad to be here.
So we want to start out, there's four mindsets that you feel and the author feels are really crucial to before you even get to the questions themselves. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think there's four, she lines out four particular mindsets, which I'll mention, but I think the overall mindset that we have to have is that to whomever we're speaking, we're concerned, do they have that same joy of salvation that we have? And that's basically why we're motivated. And then the mindset would be when someone comes in, and I'm going to use the church doors, it's a visitor. When we see that person, one of the mindsets would be to be curious. So start there, to be curious about the person. And then to think the best of them. So if they don't look right, or I'll use the example of if you go to Starbucks, sometimes you might see piercings and tattoos and maybe funny looking hair. Somebody in my generation right away would be kind of turned off, but that's wrong. Really, you need to think the best of the person. What your goal is that they know. Really, that you want them to be happy in the love of God. So that's your end goal.
Yeah, and thinking the best of him isn't saying, oh, I want to dress like them or be like them, but it's rather just putting the best construction on them while saying, oh, I would never dress like that. You can have that angst, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then another one of the mindsets is to be genuinely or to express concern. I mean, I've already said to be curious about it, but to express concern, why are you, you know, what's brought you here? Mm-hmm. And it's good to see you, how, you know, those kinds of things, just genuinely that you're in the ensuing conversation, that you have concern for that person. And then finally, be willing to share yourself. That's a hard one, because, but we have to be ready to do that. And if I can, when I read that, I can give an example, because Pastor uses it in his sermons. He'll quite often bring his own self in there. He'll pictures of the children or pictures of camping or something. And the message is not about Pastor, and that's what we have to guard again. But we want to be able to share part of our life. It's not about our life at the end, but it's part of the mindset. We're willing to share what we have.
So the first mindset is to be curious. The second mindset is to believe the best about the person. The third one is express concern, genuine concern. And then the fourth one is to be willing to share yourself. It's kind of just kind of being aware of those things as you go into these conversations, so that maybe if you're not in a great headspace or whatever, it'll come off more genuinely. It'll be more authentic if you're in that place, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, right. It's an overall genuineness. You're genuinely interested in the person.
Of those four, Harold, which one do you struggle with the most? Can I ask that?
Yes. Believe the best, I guess. Oh. I really thought into that, you know, because we have in our heads the way the world should be, and maybe the person you're talking to already objects to the last church that they went to. Well, I don't want to talk about some objection. That's not why I want to talk to you. And so right away, oh, that person's negative or something. And there may be a good reason why that person's bad-mouthing somebody else or some place where they came from. Or maybe I heard recently some lady stepped up in a meeting and said, I'm going to get a divorce. Well, who wants to hear that? You know, so how do you think the best of that person?
Yeah. What about you, Donna?
I think it's, that's a tough one. Can I interject really quick before I answer?
Yeah.
You know who does that really well is Pastor Josh. And we've had people that have come in and introduced themselves and been like, yeah, I left my last church because, and just out of nowhere, they're like, this is why I'm here. I left my last church. And I always love it because Pastor Josh will, you have this way of going, well, I'm really sorry about that. And we're glad you're here. And we're going to pray for that church. So he takes what could be a really negative and makes it into a really positive with concern. So I think you do that well. I think for me, it's probably be willing to share myself because we've had a lot of people from sober living come in. And so as they come in, I feel like I am curious. I love to hear their stories. I do believe the best because they're on a great journey. I think I can express that concern, but I don't know that there's a place for my story. I am the one that's divorced, right? And I don't want to go, oh, and I'm divorced, you know? So I think how you let them, how you give a little, it was much easier for me with students when I'd have those conversations driving, and then I could relate or I could say, yeah, you know, this is how I've seen it in my life. But with people that are walking in, it's a little bit harder to do that. How about you?
Yeah. Mine is probably the curiosity. Like, I think I'm not naturally curious about people and their story. I have compassion for them. I want them to know Jesus. Like I don't struggle with thinking down about people. I see the best in them. God has blessed me with that. But yeah, the natural curiosity. I think like I struggle to ask questions, and I always thought it was just about questions, but I think I'm beginning to see that I need to grow in my curiosity about people. Like I think for me, like social interactions are angsty enough for me that I'm thinking about more about how I'm perceived and how I'm being kind and nice to them rather than being curious about them. And I think that's kind of my way that I need to grow. Yeah.
Wow. Way to be transparent.
Yeah, you know,
I appreciate that.
We're nothing if we're not that. So.
Right. But even all the things we're talking about, I would like to think 90% of the people that sit in our pews, or whatever we call them nowadays, 90% of the people that come to our church and are active participants have that mindset, but yet they have
that mindset. What do you mean?
The mindset of being interested in the person, curious about the person. What is that person doing here? I hope they have the mindset of, are they all right with a loving God? Are they square with God's love? But I hope that our parishioners have that. But I've had people come up to me and say, when I ask, do you know that person over there or something, you know, trying to get a zero in before I talk to somebody. And the person said to me, that's your job. Don't even talk to me about that. Mm. And he really said it like that.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that to be critical. I mean that to be here saying, well, what can we do to help you through that?
And I think that's a good point that I think it's not that I don't have curiosity about people. It's just there's things in my social awkwardness of how I am and how I'm wired that make it hard for me to do that. It doesn't feel natural to go up and ask people questions. Okay. And it's not that I don't love hearing people's stories. It's just it's harder in that interaction. And I wonder for people if it's less about having the mindset and more about that we don't. I think we have this mindset in Christ Jesus. Like we're given the fruit of the Spirit. We're given this love and joy and peace and patience from God, goodness, kindness, self-control. We're given these things from God, but there is the things in this world that hold us back. And I think that's what I've found so helpful about thinking through my curiosity is why do I struggle sometimes to embody the curiosity that I actually have for people? Well, some of it is my social awkwardness that I have. And I wonder how many of our people, they see it as your job because they see, well, you do it well and natural, but I'm not like Harold. And the reality is I'm not sure that that's necessarily natural for you, but you've learned to do this. This has become a part of who you are.
Right. I think the other thing too, when I was listening to her speak, it just kept hitting me. There's one area that she goes into, it's the physical, and I'm going to come back to this a little bit later, but I would never think about asking somebody a physical question about their physicality because my generation, you didn't do that. And I feel like there's might be some walls that we put up of, you know, that's your business. I don't want to creep into your business.
Yeah.
But what we're about to talk about is people want somebody who cares about them. And when it's done in a very genuine way, I'll let you into that.
Yeah.
Now to walk up and say to somebody something about their physicality, well, that may not feel good, but in a conversation, in a relationship, I can maybe have permission to do that.
Well, and that one I'll just speak to for a moment since we're on it. Like the fact that I've been sick has allowed me to have different conversations with different people that I would never had a chance to. And I've learned that I actually kind of enjoy talking at some level, not with every single person, but I enjoy some level talking about how I'm doing today, right? Like that doesn't bother me, but at some level, that's a very personal thing, mm-hmm. right? How are you doing today? Like, how's the medicine treating you? Like, that's a very personal thing, but it's something that I can relate to people. And I've found that I can, now that I have struggles in my physical, I can relate with people that do. And I think, you know, that is a gift that we have toward our relationship.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It happened Sunday. I was speaking to someone and someone that I is fairly new and I don't know really very well at all, but it turned to that. I somehow or other it got on to the physical. There was an illness in the family, and bam, the conversation took off.
Oh, wow.
She really wanted to talk about that. So I'm saying, well, praise the Lord. I guess I should be listening to this very personal thing about this person's life. They wanted to express it.
Yeah. Yeah, and if we care about people enough, we'll find that commonality we have in that conversation that we can both care and feel engaged in. Because I think that's the sweet spot, when we find a conversation that we can both feel engaged in. And that's a conversation that I think leads to then talking about Jesus, which is why this is so important.
And maybe not worry so much about the social piece, the am I step on their toes?
Yeah.
Am I going to frustrate them? What are they thinking of me? All those things. Maybe set those aside.
Correct.
And just maybe even say a prayer of, God, just help me to be in this moment with this person and be willing to go where you want us to go.
I like what you said when you said set that aside. We have to set ourselves aside.
We
step out of the picture. It's not about us.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I think, the key in conversations is I think we have to realize that every conversation we have is a risk. Like, and I think we just have to own that and mourn that every conversation I have with is a risk. But I think by not having the conversation, you actually risk more. You risk not having deep relationships. And maybe I think we're going to talk about this the Surgeon General said that the loneliness is a pandemic. And so the greater risk isn't that you say something to offend somebody, but that you don't have deep conversations and thus you don't have the friends that the world says, not just the Christian world,
right,
but the world says that we need relationships. The only way to have deep relationships is to have conversations that can be a risk. And each conversation is.
And we don't have to bring the most knowledge into the conversation.
No.
We just, I believe, have to be willing to show up. And God's going to do the rest. He's going to take it to that deeper level.
When you say that, Donna, I have been of late been in 2 Corinthians 5, and in it, Paul talks about us being God's ambassadors.
Mm.
And then he says, and God makes his appeal through us.
Mm.
I take so much comfort in that.
Yes.
So if I'm talking to you or you're talking to me, we hear, like I've said in the past, that I love going to church and seeing Jesus, and I really do. When you see people confess their faith or demonstrate their faith or worship, it just makes me feel good. But
that's
important.
No, I love that. I want to read something to you. Dr. Holloman, who's the author of this book, is a professor at Penn State, and she asks her students at the beginning of each semester one question. What is the single most determining factor of a happy life? And she goes on to say that students will want the answer from her. And what she's trying to do is to get them to think at a deeper level. So these conversations lead to deeper thinking. And when we think about things like world peace, you know, how do we help people think at a deeper level? That makes sense to us. But when we think about our own life or our own journey, sometimes we don't think about people have to think at a deeper level.
Mm.
Maybe they don't know how to go there, right? So the answer is actually, do you know what it is?
To relationships.
Warm connections.
Mm.
The number one determining factor of having a happy life is warm connections. And then she goes on to say that the loneliness problem is an epidemic.
Mm.
Like you said, the Surgeon General came out with a report. Like, think about this. The Surgeon General spent the money and the time to come up with a report that says loneliness is an epidemic.
Yeah. Or there's this one, like, to just tack on to that. In the UK, they have a Ministry of Happiness. So ministry is like our cabinet official, so like the State Department. So it's on par with the State Department. It's the Ministry of Happiness. What the Ministry of Happiness does is they take lonely people, pair them up with a government employee that calls you every week.
No.
The government employee. Now, think about this. So they're saying the same thing that's going on here, that loneliness is an epidemic. So it's valuable enough for them as a country to say, we're going to pay people to be your friend. Think about that for a moment. Like, isn't that crazy?
And at the same time, we are the most connected generations of all time. We have our phones in our hands, and we're the most connected to the news, to information, even one another. I texted Harold this morning before he came, and I was like, thank you so much for that video. I did watch it, you know, like we're connected, but we are going at such a pace, and we're staying at a superficial level.
Correct.
And of course, we can take this back to the pandemic,
yeah,
which everything's, all roads go through the pandemic. So we're going to kind of set that aside. But I just want to camp on this for a minute. What does that loneliness, that, and that's deep loneliness, what is that doing to people right now?
Well, so one thing it's doing actually is it's raising the anxiety. So like they've done studies on this that like when you're, that we all have to have a certain number of connections, and we're all kind of like Legos. And Dunbar actually had some numbers that he talked about in a study that you need this many close friends, this many next circle. And he has this whole thing, and I won't go into that, but we all are like Legos in that we need so many connections. And once they're filled, you actually can't have any more, which is a great learning for extroverts, that you can only connect at a certain level with so many people. But for a lot of us, and I'm going to put myself in this, I think I'm lacking sometimes in connections because of who I am. But what that means is my anxiety is actually going to go up. And so also what that means is when I go into social situations, because I don't have the right amount of connections, my anxiety goes up. Now think about the scariness of this for just a moment, because what that means is that the way that you fix your anxiety is that you make yourself go through anxiety. Right? How many of us, if your doctor said you push through it. How many of us, if our doctor said you're burnt, to fix your burn, you have to put the burn on an iron and hold it there for 5 minutes? We wouldn't do it.
Well, in running, you have to, mm-hmm. don't you hit a wall?
Correct.
And they say you have to push through the wall.
You have to push through the wall
to get to the peak of what you're trying to do. So I have to push through my anxiety.
Correct.
In a very anxious moment.
Yeah, and that's exactly what my point is. What I need to do, if I want my anxiety to be in a better place, what I have to do is I have to push through the anxiousness of what it is to have a relationship, the anxiousness of what it is to go out to coffee with a friend, because that's an anxious situation for me. I got to sit here and talk to somebody. But the only way that I fix this anxiety that I have is actually by having the right number of friends. The only way I do that is by engaging in an anxious situation in order to have that conversation.
And for somebody like me, who's a high extrovert, mm-hmm. I've got too many connections, then I'm spread too thin,
correct.
And none of my relationships have the depth that God's calling me to have.
Yeah, which is a real problem in the world of social media, is that you can be with your friends and still talk with your friends, right? And that's a danger too, like that we're not giving our undivided attention to the person that we're with.
So when you guys are listening to this, the listener, when you're listening to this, we are having field day here at Peace. And it was interesting because one of our church people was outside and he said, and this blew me away, he goes, yeah, I left my phone at home. I'm doing today without my phone. And he's got an important job. And I was like, really? I think I said that. You were standing there. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, I just don't need to do that today. And the angst for you that might struggle with anxiety, that takes your anxiety way down. For me, that overextends. I mean, I walk through the office texting, you know, and that would be amazing. I think Charlie Kirk took a literal Sabbath once a week, and he would actually put his phone away. Yeah. And his wife said what that did for him was the most refreshing, best thing that he could do.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. No, I lead in the direction of pastor, and for me, social, oh my golly.
Which will shock people to hear that. If you know Harold, you're like, oh no, that's not Harold. But
for me to go to a group of people, and that's where we can circle back to the questions and the conversations. There's a lot of people that grow into a crowd, and because there's no meaningful conversation, they feel lonely in a crowd.
Right. That superficial isn't going to do it. But somebody like me, feels like they're hitting superficial conversations, not all the time, but I might feel like I touch base with five people, but if I'm not getting that depth, then I've got too many connections out. That's something I have to remember too.
Yeah.
That is super interesting. I want to continue this conversation in our next episode. Harold, we're going to ask you to hang out with us this week, and we'll come back next week and have another conversation around this. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to our next episode. Have a great day.